Hello, everyone. My name is John Moore, and welcome to the ProWrestling.net audio review for the Lucha Underground episode that aired January 11, 2017 on the El Rey Network. After the break, for non-members, I'll be reviewing Season 3, Episode 19 of the show, the mid-season finale of Lucha Underground Season 3. And this episode was titled Gods Among Men. Before I actually get into the structured review, I have to say, I'm pretty happy right now. And why, you may ask? Lucha Underground is going away for a long enough time now. I actually get a break from Lucha Underground, the bane of my wrestling reviewing existence during that terrible season 2.5. And what started to feel like a little bit of a chore heading into Season 3. Season 3 was fine. It wasn't terrible. There were some annoying parts which carried over from Season 2, but it wasn't amazing. Lucha Underground, it needs a break, especially at this point in time where interest in the show has hit rock bottom. One clever thing they're doing is they're avoiding the WrestleMania season where WWE has oversaturated the market with all this pro wrestling content. Or, you know, they would call it sports entertainment, but pro wrestling content. What's good is they'll be heading into, like, the beginning of the summer where they hopefully could get a lot of attention from the pro wrestling fan base. I know it leads into SummerSlam at August, but they'll be starting hopefully in June, maybe late May. I hope it's more on the June side, so the break's longer. That said, what I do hope Lucha Underground does is, during WrestleMania season, they should do what every other wrestling company does, sans TNA, who at one point was allergic to money. What Lucha Underground should do is they should run live events in the WrestleMania host city. Now that they do run live events, and have these live events be paid. People actually, I believe, would pay for these shows. I know people in Los Angeles, California, even NorCal would pay for Lucha Underground shows. And with enough of a buzz in the nation, hopefully in other cities, especially in the WrestleMania host city where you get the worldwide wrestling audience coming together, they're converging. And totally looking for free open shows, because a lot of those shows out there are fully booked, full attendance, and you can't find a seat. Lucha Underground could give a few more seats and make some money on the side. Supply and demand, folks. All that said, I'm also glad that I get to watch different pro wrestling shows. I'm actually heading to an APW pro wrestling event in a few weeks where Cody Rhodes will be facing Pentagon Jr., and Matanza will be there too as well. I guess you can't fully escape Lucha Underground, can you? That said, I don't care. I get to watch other pro wrestling shows. That said, with all that moment of glee out of the way, let's get into the actual audio review of the show. The last audio review in a while for this show, Lucha Underground. This week's intro video started with El Dragon Azteca saying he found his destiny after getting his butt whooped by Matanza. This LAPD storyline was featured. Again, I wasn't a huge fan of it in Season 2, but it hasn't been in Season 3 that much, which was good. We were told Ricky Reyes will be infiltrating Lucha Underground under a mask. They also showed a scene where Famous B told Tejano that he's not connecting with the audience in a very meta moment. Mac and Johnny Mundo's ongoing feud was also featured. Again, this episode was titled Gods Among Men. Dario Cueto at the beginning of the show was chatting with LA City Councilman Delgado about Cage's new gauntlet. He has an infinity gauntlet that I swear this was a rewrite. It had to be. I like to think of it in this way, that it contains the soul of MVP, Montel Vontavious Porter from WWE, the guy with the ball and elbow. Because he was in Lucha Underground and they were building to his debut, I think. But he, of course, got released during that time and they rewrote it to how he ascended. And I'm assuming he's in the glove now. Dario Cueto said, Cage liked the glove. He's consumed by the power and the power was controlling him, unbeknownst to him. Dario Cueto said, soon they would just be men among gods. And Dario said that the gods showed him some gratitude for setting this whole thing up. I pointed him out in my written review, which is posted on the front page of ProWrestling.net at this point, that everyone's favorite Lucha Watermelon, El Dragon Azteca Jr., barged in. He interrupted the meeting for a bit. Long story short, he demanded a match against Matanza. So Dario was like, sure, you can have a match, but also note that I didn't stick him on you and Rey. Azteca said he didn't care. He just wants to beat up Matanza because, like I said earlier, he found his destiny. Dario Cueto ends up booking the match on his red phone. After that intro segment, we were taken to the temple. That was the whole pre temple cinematic that we usually get. El Metalachi was the band again, and Matt Stryker and Vampiro checked in on commentary. I guess he was the man on the other side of the phone, and he was told that El Dragon Azteca Jr. will be facing Matanza Cueto in a death match. That was the match that was happening tonight. Kind of odd that they didn't build up to this a week ahead of time. Dario Cueto mentioned that he's a promoter and he likes to book matches ahead of time. It's weird that he and the Lucha Underground writers have forgotten that philosophy. Stryker did talk to Vampiro about what Mill did to him last week, and Vampiro said it may not be tonight or not next week, but he was tell but Mill, your time will come. Stryker said that his and Vampiro's time is now, and they have to continue the show. So, our first match was El Tejano Jr. versus Joey Ryan in a singles match. Wake up, Joey Ryan was doing his usual creepy stuff. He put a lollipop in his pants, and Matt Stryker swears that he put a pube in his mouth. Yeah, that really happened. The end of this match consisted of Famous B and Brenda coming out. Famous B is trying to force himself into the favors of Tejano. He's looking for a new client. Not sure why he left Dr. Wagner Jr., because Wagner was still capable of doing things. So Famous B tried to stop Joey Ryan from unbuckling the turnbuckle. And while he distracted the ref during this commotion, Brenda handed Tejano a horseshoe because El Tejano means the Texan. They have horseshoes in Texas, I guess. Tejano punched Joey Ryan with the horseshoe. It's Joey Ryan. In Lucha Underground, Joey Ryan, you don't need these weapons to defeat him, but I guess he could use the help. So El Tejano punched Joey Ryan in the face with a horseshoe and defeated Joey Ryan via pinfall in 7 minutes and 3 seconds. Tejano acted confused after because, like I said, Famous B was already acting like his manager and he didn't really want Famous B. So he pushed Famous B away and started like making the moves on Brenda. Famous B was still delusional and they went to the break. That match was, or that whole segment was oddly entertaining somewhat. It wasn't amazing. It was a simple character development. It's weird that they're taking this meta approach that Tejano Jr. is dull and not connecting with the audience. So they're going to find a way to get him more endearing to the audience. And it worked somehow. It wasn't rushed. It looks like they're building towards something, which is something Lucha Underground hasn't done in a while. They've been rushing things. And I'm looking forward to see what they do with this, actually. And it keeps Tejano and Famous B and Brenda in their own little island and away from the main event and all that stuff. The next segment was a Johnny Mundo promo segment. He was in the ring talking about this was where he thanked the Worldwide Underground guys and Taya. Taya wasn't in the arena tonight, but him, PJ Black, and Jack Evans were. He thanked them for being good friends, and let's see, also talked about how he was going to beat the Mac during the All Night Long match. As Johnny Mundo was about to leave, the Mac comes in and puts the boots to Johnny Mundo. Jack Evans and PJ Black try to counter and stop the Mac from beating their leader, but the Mac ends up giving both of them Stone Cold Stunners. He goes back to work on Johnny Mundo, and Johnny Mundo calls the security guards. I wonder if this was Lucha Underground security or the Johnny Mundo security. Like, why does he have security all of a sudden? And why does Lucha Underground have security all of a sudden? These were your typical independent pro wrestling security guards. And they took Stunners, got beat up, and tossed out of the ring. Because independent pro wrestling stars, security guards usually get beat up like that. That's where that segment ended. Okay, as for how it went, Mundo wasn't great in his promo, and in fact, he looked a bit nervous when he had to cut an extended promo. That's usually how he is. One thing that was odd in Season 2 was, this was Episode 1, and when they weren't bad yet. They were good up to, like, Episode 9 or something. But in the first episode, Johnny Mundo cut a really good heel promo that I saw live, and they cut it out completely when they actually showed the show. They had recorded it and put clips of that good promo in video packages later on, but it was odd that they cut a really good heel promo that Johnny Mundo cut in to develop himself after turning heel recently. Johnny Mundo does get nervous sometimes, but what was good about that whole promo beatdown segment was it progressed a storyline slowly while not rushing. Two segments in a row so far, and we got good progression. Last week, we got good progression in the show as well. We're going to get another progression in this show later on, which was more comical than anything, but at least it's still progression. Let me take a break from the audio review to talk about our .NET membership a tad bit. For the low price of $7.50 a month, and as low as $5.50 a month if you take us up on the annual option, you can become a paid member to ProWrestling.net. Not only does that open up the world of ad-freeness to you guys, it also gives you the access to exclusive news, a members forum. And because you are listening to this all-access sample of what I do, as well as the other staffers do on a weekly basis, you get hours and hours of in-depth analysis and even interviews with pro wrestling personalities like Jim Ross, Broken Matt Hardy. We even had Lucha Underground executive producer Krista Joseph on a few times. Now, a few of our pay shows include the audio reviews for all of the major pro wrestling shows in North America, including WWE Raw, SmackDown, NXT, TNA Impact, Ring of Honor, Lucha Underground, and if I'm forgetting something, we have audio for all those major pro wrestling shows in the U.S. And not just the U.S., we have our brothers from overseas, Darren Guttridge and Hayden Lee. They provide us with some really good analysis from the Progress Pro Wrestling and other UK promotions out there. Will Pruitt, Jake Barnett, they host the Pretentious Wrestling Podcast, where they go into the highlights of the week. Also, our most listened to show, we have our flagship show, the .NET Weekly Show, where Jason Powell and a guest host go over the news of the week, which also includes first run news never before heard or seen anywhere else. All of that, I'm just scratching the surface as the top of the membership benefits. Try us out for a month. Even look into our archives and find really good analysis from the history of pro wrestling. Check us out and sign up for ProWrestling.net and see what you're missing out on. Now let's get back into Lucha Underground mode, the audio review. After the Johnny Mundo promo segment, there was a commercial, of course, and our next match was They Call Him Cage versus Veneno. Veneno. I like pronouncing this guy's name. He's kind of hilarious. Veneno. He's Cortez Castro in a Spider-Man mask, or a Venom mask, because it's the Black Spider-Man. Vampiro told us that Veneno was, it was Spanish for Venom. So yeah, he was Venom. And even though this match only lasted 1 minute and 24 seconds, and Cage won via pinfall after a suplex into a pile driver, Veneno got a surprising amount of offense in that 1 minute and a half. He dominated Cage for a few seconds. This reminded Matt Stryker pointed it out again. I mean, for a good reason. He shouldn't just turn a blind eye to it. This happened when Cage faced Chavo for some reason. Cage sells for these guys that he should be killing in quick fashion. This match should have been 30, and Cage ended up selling big time to Veneno. So yeah. Oh, and by the way, he carried to the ring his new Infinity Gauntlet, the one that has electrical powers or something. And that's why he got the Infinity Gauntlet and ended up getting beaten up by Veneno for a little bit. After the match, he continued to play to the crowd and he pushed the referees to show that his mind is being taken over by the glove or the Infinity Gauntlet. It's not the, I mean, they didn't say it was the Infinity Gauntlet. It reminds me of the Thanos Infinity Gauntlet. After the match, Sexy Star runs in to put the boots to Veneno. She said, "It was you," and she said it in Spanish, of course. And she kicked him because he looked like a Spider-Man ripoff. Remember, Sexy Star is afraid of spiders, and I'm assuming she thinks that Veneno, because he is dressed like a spider, was the guy who put the toy spider in her locker. This is odd. It was entertaining because I do get a kick out of like quirky, funny, bad pro wrestling moments. But at one point, Sexy Star was a main eventer at the beginning of the season, and now she is feuding with arachnids and spiders or anything that looks like a spider because she has arachnophobia. She's afraid of spiders. Like, why is this a topic of focus here that Sexy Star is afraid of spiders? I mean, I know it's going to lead to somewhere, but it's a bit funny how she's like a bit crazy and running around trying to beat up anything that looks like a spider. After that happened, we had another cinematic. Prince Puma, he had Eskrima sticks and he was beating up the wooden bags and had like the memories of Vampiro running to his head. He couldn't take it, so he was like rolling on the ground and with his hands on his head. Katrina teleports in and says, "This is how you feel when you die." And let's see. Yeah, okay. She said he was in the spirit realm, and the voices come back to haunt him. Katrina said she hears the voices too because she's a dead zombie witch who is immortal now because she owns half of Captain Vasquez's immortality amulet. Katrina said there was only one vision that he can't get out of his head: blood and pain. Puma retorted by saying this is not his blood and pain, it was Mill's blood and pain in his mind. Katrina said she has a similar vision, except it was Puma's blood in her vision. Katrina teleported away and he hit the bag with the sticks again and the bag fell. Again, more storyline progression. Good job, Lucha Underground, for like once in a long time, taking several weeks to build up stories. I like it. And our next match is another one of those progression stories. The rehabilitation job of trying to make El Dragon Azteca Jr. a meaningful character is continuing to happen. our next match and last match of the night and of the season so far. It was El Dragon Azteca Jr. versus the Monster Matanza Cueto, accompanied by Dario Cueto, in a death match. The death match we had before, Matt Stryker reminded us that King Cuerno's career could have ended, and it possibly did, because he had a death match with Mil Muertes earlier on in season 2. Of course, the real reason King Cuerno isn't around was, if I remember around this time, there were reports that King Cuerno was being recruited to compete in the WWE CWC. This was around the time before the CWC was happening. And King Cuerno tried to get out of his Lucha Underground contract, and eventually stuck around with Lucha Underground because Lucha Underground won. King Cuerno wasn't an idiot like Hernandez and decided to not tell people about other contracts he was on. I do feel bad for Hernandez, though. He did a really good job in Season 1 in the feuds he was in, and has some of the best matches that Sean Hernandez ever had in his career. Anyway, get back to the El Dragon Azteca Jr. versus Matanza Cueto match. Matanza Cueto defeats El Dragon Azteca Jr. via ref stoppage in 6 minutes and 25 seconds. They brawl all around the temple in aggressive, brawling fashion. At the end, though, Matanza hits El Dragon Azteca Jr. with a choke slam, which sends him through the wooden bleachers into the bottom of the bleachers. Matt Stryker said he fell onto the concrete under the bleachers, which hopefully I would assume, because of Hollywood, he fell on a bunch of pillows. That's what we all hope for. Sorry about the magic behind the magic trick, but this is an analysis piece. So, like I said, Matanza defeated Dragon Azteca in 6 minutes and 25 seconds because Marty Elias stopped the match. After the match, right when Dario and Matanza were celebrating, Rey Mysterio returned. They have a little brawl, which ultimately ended with, Rey Mysterio back-tossing Matanza into the closet area that it was Phoenix who got powerbombed through that area. One would wonder why it would have broken so easily. I would assume that Dario Cueto hired cheap carpenters when we caught Phoenix broke the ceiling. That was the last moment of the show. Matt Stryker said the next episode was going to be all night long. But wait, there's more. There was a post-credit scene. Melissa Santos was taking pictures with fans outside as she was being stalked by Marty the Moth because he's a creepy stalker. Suddenly, Marty was kidnapped for once. Usually he's the one doing the kidnapping. And he was put into cocoon position where he had Sexy Star in two seasons ago. Mariposa kidnapped him and said, "Bravo, Martin," or Martin. She said Marty has her attention, and he maybe wasn't the little boy that she thought he was. She said maybe he's seen the light. She pushed him, and he laughed around on the ground like a masochist. Marty said, "I did good," many times, and the show officially ended. There was a commercial after Lucha Underground, which told us that Lucha Underground is gone until the summer. It's like I told you, it made me happy. And next week's Lucha Underground was going to be a best of episode, so I'm guessing we're going to get a few best of episodes, and we're going to be rolling reruns, which would be good for viewers to catch up on old episodes of Lucha Underground. Like I said, now going into the match first, that was one of Matanza's better showings, like as the Monster Matanza. He was improving with the Dario Dial of Doom. The problem he was having with the Dial of Doom matches was he would sell a lot. The same problem with Cage. Matanza was selling to Son of Havoc, to Willie Mack, to everyone he was facing, except one person. Oh, yeah, he didn't sell to Killshot, but they were protecting Killshot with an injury. Matanza was selling a lot, but what he did was putting on better matches. The thing that was missing from his repertoire was a little bit of aggression. And in this match, he showed some aggression and easily dispatched of Eldrazagin Azteca Jr., who is being pushed right now as a person who's in over his head a bit. He is looking better in the ring. I thought they should put him in a few squash matches against some lesser opponents, but at least he's getting focus. In Season 2.5, you know, that terrible part of Season 2, he was buried in six-man tags, and when he did have singles matches, he got whooped and lost and buried by Matanza at points. But he's getting some development right now, and they're doing a decent job with it. Rey Mysterio, the beatdown afterwards was really good, and that was probably the death match we should have got if we wanted a little more entertainment value. I also like that Rey has Matanza's number. It does make me a little bit sad that they told this exact story with Mil Muertes and Phoenix to perfection last season, and now Phoenix is in obscurity, sad to say. They're doing a good job with Drago. Aerostar is good for floating around and being the Iron Man Power Ranger. But yeah, I feel bad for Phoenix, who deserves a lot better. I also feel bad for Pentagon Jr., who is the favorite of the fans, and they don't really focus on Pentagon Jr. as their top superstar for some reason. I know the reason why. I've heard in interviews, I can't remember which one and who said it exactly, but I remember one of the focuses of Lucha Underground was to make everyone seem like a main eventer, and the downside with that is that's the same as WWE's parody approach, where no one is bigger than the other, so if everyone's a main eventer, then at the same time, if everyone's at the same line, everyone's a jobber, when you think of it in that sense. Rey Mysterio is not a jobber, though. You know, they'll protect Rey afterwards, and it's someone who can hopefully get them some buzz when Season 3 returns. Technically, this was like, you know, this was the end of the season. Remember, we ended at around season of episode 20 last season with Ultima Lucha Dos. We didn't get an Ultima Lucha this year, or, you know, I mean, we will, I think. Yeah, no, they already said we were getting Ultima Lucha 3. The match hype for that was Ivelisse versus Katrina, which Katrina accepted, if I remember, early on in the season. Hopefully I'm not spoiling things. If I am, I'll edit that out. That's the power of editing. But I'm pretty sure they hyped that match earlier in the season. And hopefully Ivelisse gets better. Yeah. And what I also find interesting is, and more with the storyline development, the post-credits, more storyline development to this new Mariposa Marty feud. Mariposa really could use it. She's like Dragon Azteca, who didn't get any development after they debuted. Mariposa just beat up random luchadors once and lost to Sexy Star in a really amazing match. No Mas, one of the hidden gems in 2016. But at the same time, the character Mariposa hasn't been well defined, and hopefully we get some definition in the second part of Season 3. Yeah, that's the end of Season 3 for now. And here's another interesting thing, I've been talking highly of Season 3 being a really good season from the shows I've attended. Little did I know that the shows I actually attended would be in what is technically their Season 4. I haven't attended any of the shows that they've shown so far. And if I have, I probably would have came off with a more lowered expectation, if I, just to be honest. They do marathon tapings. Those tapings are extremely exhausting to sit through. But some of the shows I've attended in Season 3 that are going to come up later have been really good. Some of the things, including Puma, I'm told I can say this. I think Killshot is going to be pretty good. Let's see how they do it from a cinematic perspective. Some things are going to be good as far as the in-ring stuff of what I've seen, all the stuff that they do in the temple. there are going to be some good things, hopefully. And hopefully the cinematic part backs that up very well. Yep, that's it. We're done with Lucha Underground for now. I get to watch more pro wrestling shows and other things. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening along to these audio reviews. If you're a member, you've been listening along this season. And if you're not a member, make sure to check out our ProWrestling.net membership option. You won't be disappointed by all the variety of audio that we push out on a daily basis. We don't really push out audios a lot on weekends. We do sometimes. Check us out. If you want to have more discussion with me, you can check me out on Twitter. My Twitter handle is at LittleJohnM. That's LiljohnM. And I try to respond to tweets and direct messages as much as possible. Let's talk Lucha Underground, TNA, WWE, New Japan. Even the new Tiger Mask W anime reviews, which is a pro wrestling anime starring Kota Ibushi, which I've been posting up recently. Okay, that's it. Thank you so much for listening along, and I'll talk to you in a few months during the summer for Lucha Underground Season 3.5. Hopefully this one doesn't suck. Again, thank you. Have a nice one.